World Sport from the BBC with Andrew Horse. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, AC Milan hammer Arsenal in the first leg of their Champions League last 16 tie.
Back to Ibrahimovic, now only a yard outside the penalty, to Rabinho, Rabinho's shot, 3-0! Arsenal are finished! Glorious shot from Rabinho, his second goal of the evening, 4 minutes into the second half, AC Milan 3, Arsenal 0.
It finished 4-0 in the end. In the night's other match, there's late drama as Zenit St. Petersburg beat Benfica, and the man who runs Formula One says the Bahrain Grand Prix won't be cancelled for a second time. Let's start with football here on the BBC World Service. The seven times European champions AC Milan are set fair for another quarter-final in the Champions League after a 4-0 win in the home leg of their tie against Arsenal. Alan Green was at the San Siro.
Arsenal were absolutely battered and the scoreline could have been much worse. Once Milan realised they were better, soon enough, they took Arsene Wenger's team apart. Milan went ahead within a quarter of an hour. Boateng, the former Spur, shot over Chesney and in off the underside of the crossbar. But it was Ibrahimovic who was the star of stars. A complete striking performance. He made goals for Rabinho 7 minutes before half-time and 4 minutes after it. And he created clear opportunities between those goals. So even if it was a soft penalty for Juru's challenge on the Swede with 11 minutes to go, there was no more appropriate scorer than Ibrahimovic. Arsenal were totally outplayed and can only now be thinking of a miracle at the Emirates.
Well, let's hear now from Arsenal's manager Arsene Wenger. Despite that scoreline, he refused to be too hard on his players.
They did not let me down. I think we let our ambitions down as a unit, and as I just told you before, you could blame. We have to stick together and win the next game. I believe the players were very ambitious in this Champions League, and that the first two will be very sad. We felt powerless today to get really into the game.
Well, the night's only other Champions League match was played in freezing conditions and produced a dramatic 3-2 win for Zenit St. Petersburg at home to Benfica. Oscar Cardoso scored for Benfica to make it 2-2 with 3 minutes to go, only for Roman Shirokov to win it for the Russians with his second goal a minute later. The new champions of Africa, Zambia, have moved up 28 places to number 43 in FIFA's latest world rankings. That was after winning the Cup of Nations for the first time in their history, with Sunday's penalty shootout victory over Ivory Coast. Despite that defeat, the Ivorians are up 3 places to 15th, and they're the continent's highest placed team. Piers Edwards from the BBC's African Service reports.
Fierce desire, terrific footballers and a sense of destiny lay behind Zambia's Nations Cup win this year as a squad boasting just one Europe-based player lifted the African Games top prize. Sunday's success reflects the fact that the team has been together for a number of years and features several of the TP Mazembe side that shocked the planet in late 2010 by becoming the first African team to ever reach FIFA's Club World Cup final. The Chipolopolo's highest ever ranking came way back in 1996. When they reached 15th spot, and that, coincidentally, is where Sunday's runners-up Ivory Coast now lie. It is now just over a year since an African team featured in FIFA's top 10, with Egypt having plummeted since winning the last of their titles in 2010. In fact, their failure to defend their crown at the Nations Cup this year counted massively against them, with the Pharaohs now lying in their lowest ever position, 61st spot, the first time they've ever been outside the top 50.
It's the world champion Spain who continue to lead the way. Juventus missed out on the opportunity to move above AC Milan in Serie A. That's after drawing 0-0 at Parma. They remain second, which is a point behind, but with a game in hand. Atalanta beat Genoa 1-0 in the night's other match. English Premier League strugglers Wolves will begin interviewing candidates for the vacant manager's job on Thursday. The former Charlton and West Ham boss Alan Kirbishley is thought to be the favourite to take over from Mick McCarthy, who was sacked following Sunday's 5-1 thrashing by neighbours West Brom. Pat Murphy has more.
Alan Kirbishley is highly regarded by Wolves owner Steve Morgan after keeping Charlton in the Premier League for 6 years and then inspiring West Ham to avoid relegation in 2007 after a stirring late revival, the kind of run that Wolves now need. But he's been out of management for the past 3 years, unlike Steve Bruce and Neil Warnock. yet they've both been sacked by Premier League clubs this season that could appear damaged goods to some. Although Warnock's effervescent style could appeal as an interim appointment, with the Wolves players needing to be galvanised. Bruce is good at that too. He's been a Premier League manager for 10 years, and his work at Wigan was outstanding, keeping them in the top flight for two seasons in a row. There are caveats to all three, but as Mr. Morgan proved on Monday, it's futile to second-guess him.
A decision on McCarthy's successor is due early next week, giving the new manager time to bed in before the first match against Newcastle a week on Sunday. Now to motorsport, and the boss of Formula One, Bernie Ecclestone, believes that the Bahrain Grand Prix should still go ahead as planned in April, despite a return to violence in the country. Protesters clashed with security forces again on Tuesday, casting fresh doubts over whether the race will be cancelled for the second successive year. James Allen is the BBC's radio commentator on the sport this season. He says the governing body, the FIA, has done its utmost to ensure a race can go ahead safely.
The government there has had an independent inquiry. They've been in very close contact with the FIA and with Bernie Ecclestone all the way through the process. And they have seats within the kind of the ruling council of motorsport as well. So, you know, they are very, very close. They're constantly updating them on the situation. Bernie Ecclestone and also the FIA believe that the race should go ahead. I should also mention that the FIA president, Jean Todt, went out to Bahrain together with the 96 world champion Damon Hill and a couple of other FIA officials to have a look for themselves before Christmas, and took soundings from both sides, from the government side and also from the opposition side. And at the moment, you know, the race is on, as you say.
Now there's another major milestone ahead of the London Olympics this week, with the Cycling World Cup getting underway at the Olympic Velodrome. Our reporter Ollie Williams looks ahead to Thursday's action.
This World Cup matters a huge amount. Firstly, it's the only chance the world's track cyclists are going to get to explore the Olympic Velodrome before the Olympic Games themselves. And it's the first time even the host nation's track cyclists have had the chance to use the circuit for real.
There's no doubt about it. The architecture, the design about it, they've never been in a track that's been so well thought out.
That's Victoria Pendleton. But beyond the aesthetics and delights of a new velodrome for Britain, this is the biggest gathering of track cyclists you will see. The World Championships and Olympics both have strict criteria, so you can only send so many riders per country. But here in London this week, almost 400 cyclists will line up. All of them are trying to earn places at the Olympics. In the men's sprint, France and Germany have been dominant in recent years, and this will be the first race for Frenchman Grégory Boget since he was stripped of his world title for dope test offences in January. And finally, in the team pursuit, can Britain outstrip Australia, or will Russia, an emerging force in endurance cycling, lay down a marker ahead of the Games? We'll find out when the first medals are handed out on Friday.
England's cricketers have taken an unbeatable 2-0 lead over Pakistan in their one-day series in the United Arab Emirates. In Abu Dhabi, Captain Alistair Cook scored his second consecutive century as England posted a target of 250 for 4, with Pakistan all out for 230 after 49 overs. Two matches remain. And in tennis, Roger Federer bounced back from his Davis Cup defeat against the American John Isner by getting past two Americans in one day to reach the quarterfinals of the Rotterdam Open. First, Federer beat the Frenchman Nicolas Mahut 6-4, 6-4, and then he got an unexpected bonus as Russia's Mikhail Yuzny withdrew from their second round match with a foot problem. And a reminder of our top story before we go. AC Milan have taken a big step into the quarterfinals of the European Champions League by thrashing Arsenal 4-0 at the San Siro.